Hello, everyone. If y'all don't know, if y'all are looking for Corinne tonight we switched around on the calendar. So we are doing office hours tonight, and then Corinne will be on doing the Gift of Fat webinar tomorrow on exercise. So we changed up the date, but it's all right on the calendar. But some of y'all may have thought that was tonight. So normally the monthly course things are on Mondays at 6:00. But Corinne is traveling today back from Vegas, so she wanted to spend some time with Logan and stuff tonight, and then she'll be on tomorrow night. So it is office hours. So y'all raise your hand if you want to get coached. I will be on here for the next little while. As long as hands are raised, I'll be here. Or if y'all have any questions, put them in the Q&A. Julie, let's do it. I was just reading a post from you. Speaking of exercise. Hey, how are ya?
I'm fine. You look so good.
Thank you. What's going on?
So, I actually just finished doing some TBL on this, but I went to the gym earlier, but I'm really struggling because I have been in such a role with exercise, with my plan, but I hurt my rib. Mm-hmm. And I spend the weekend really just in a lot of pain, and there's nothing much they can do. The doctor said, which I already knew, it's just take it easy, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of went into this overwhelm, like, oh my God, I can't do this. And I went to the gym, and really there's not much I can do at the gym without going into severe pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just I'm struggling with thinking like, okay, how, like, this puts me behind with everything that, you know, I was looking to take the certification course that includes yoga every day. And I'm thinking I'm not going to be able to do it at all because I don't like that physical pain. I don't do pain very well.
So that thought sucks.
Yeah.
Don't do pain very well.
And I noticed this morning when I woke up with a better mindset, like, okay, it's just there. I'm going to just work around it. Mm-hmm. It did make me feel better throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to just sort of ignore that and not make it like the focus of my day. But now going to the gym and realizing like my limitations when I'd been feeling pretty strong and I'd been making progress, and now I guess I'm back to this like wah wah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, you're seeing it as a limitation, but that's just your thought.
But it really hurts.
if you want to get real woo woo on us tonight, I mean, pain is, you know, pain doesn't have to be bad. You know, pain doesn't have to be uncomfortable. We just think it is. You know, I'm kind of thinking of like, so I just got over a big bout of poison ivy on like the lower half of my body. And I did a lot of like thought work around it because I mean, it was just itching, constantly itching. And like, I really just decided like, I was just really, this was an opportunity for me to like really get in tune with my body and to just allow some discomfort. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. That's, you know, the just like with your body, right? Like your body is reacting the exact way it's supposed to. It has been, you know, it is experiencing trauma. I don't know exactly. Did you injure yourself or did you?
Yeah. So I did a mud race a couple weeks and I was trying to climb the wall and I lost my grip.
Okay.
And I right on the ribs.
So nothing has gone wrong here, right? Everything happened the way it was supposed to. You had your body hit the whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Your body is responding in a totally normal way. And that's kind of just the way I thought about with my poison ivy. Like, everything is going exactly the way it's supposed to. Like, these, you know, chemicals on my body are like, just, it's, everything is right here. And I can decide that but it's like our brain immediately goes to something is wrong, but nothing's wrong.
One of the things, so do you think the thought that, because this morning when I was doing TDO, mm-hmm. I thought, you know, this is a great opportunity to go back and really tool in mm-hmm. on my eating and doing thought work as opposed mm-hmm. to really focusing on my physical strength. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that'd go wrong. But I feel like I'm one of my balls is dropping, basically. And I guess it's maybe I need to just switch that.
Right. I mean, that's that thought is the opposite of what you just said, right? I mean, you know, it's one or the other. Like, you can decide your ball is dropping, or you can decide that, like, this is an amazing opportunity for you to focus on other areas of your life. Right. You know, I mean, 'cause you've got the exercise down, it sounds like. And just like, okay, this is an opportunity for my body to rest, you know, and heal itself. And so now I can focus on other things. Because, I mean, you know, once this is over with, I mean, it's non-negotiable, right? I mean, you're getting back to exercise. This is an opportunity for you to realize how much you love it, because you're probably going to miss it during this time.
Right.
And so you'll be able to appreciate it even more. I mean, what a great...
I was miserable and realized that, oh my gosh, I enjoy going. I really enjoy, you know, seeing how strong I can be. Mm-hmm. But I was afraid to injure myself further by being in the gym.
Yeah. And and you're probably right. I mean, you don't need to be going. So you need to be resting. But then it's like, oh my God, how amazing is it going to be when I get to go back and do this? I mean, it's just like when we're sick, it's just like anything else, right? We like so appreciate, it reminds us, you know, how important it is and how, you know, how great it is when we're feeling good, right? I mean, these things happen for a reason, so that we can appreciate, you know, when we're not injured, when we're not sick, when we're not itching all over and that kind of stuff. So
do you think that thought of I'm becoming stronger in other areas mm-hmm. while I heal? It's a good thought.
It's a good thought, but you got to keep practicing it, right? Like, you know, you practiced it during, you know, you practiced these some good thoughts during the day, but, you know, it's going to take more than a day for them to stick, right? And it's going to take more than a day for them to, you know, and you're going to realize that you can't do things that you've been doing. And so you're just going to have to keep practicing those thoughts. But yeah, I mean, it's all those are really good thoughts to practice for sure. And it's just kind of saying, like, asking yourself, how is this happening for me? How is this an opportunity for me? And getting your brain working on that. And I mean, sometimes you're just going to be like, I mean, you're going to go down the shithole. And right. So then, you know, it's not going to always be, you know, rainbows and daisies, but you've got these thoughts to just keep practicing. But
I think that that's a good point, because for me, like, in the past, any type of injury, I would be like, oh, all right, see, can't do it or whatever, mm-hmm. or it gives me a reason, like the out. And how do I not focus on I guess my inadequacies from before and the fear that I have of that coming back.
But you're not that person anymore, Julie. Are you?
I want to believe I'm not.
Well, this is a great opportunity to prove to yourself that you're not.
So I need to find evidence of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is it. Like, this happened for a reason. Hmm. And this is, maybe this is your test. This is your call it a test, you can call it an opportunity or whatever, but like, this is your opportunity to prove to yourself how you've changed, how you've grown. Because I mean, I saw that post that you put up about like your car's blocked in, you're, you know, whatever, you got all this stuff at work to do, you're still doing it.
Right. I mean, normally I wouldn't have done that. I would have been like, oh, okay. Bad. So sad. Can't go to the gym.
Not normal. That don't quit saying normally I wouldn't have. That's not your normal anymore. You have a new normal now.
That's a great thought.
Yeah.
Great thought.
Yeah. I mean, that is, it's like I said, it's non-negotiable for you anymore to do something active. And I mean, and you kind of have to, this is your opportunity to redefine active and, you know, get your brain active, get your, you know, your food dialed in, get your hunger scale dialed in, whatever it is, right? This is your opportunity to focus on, because like I said, I mean, from the outside, the exercise is, you know, it'll come right back.
Right. And I'm not doing weight loss. I'm doing it because I like feeling stronger. I have goals, right? And I have, you know, I want to run that half marathon I signed up for. I want to do a lot of different things. So it just, I guess all of the things, rather than thinking this is happening for me, I've been thinking like, oh my gosh, this is going to prevent me from. And that thought has been really keeping me.
Yeah. And that's like, that's the old you. And that's the, I mean, that's the old you. And that, I mean, and even like the older you is like, oh, well, this is my excuse to not do any of that stuff. Right. And it's like, no, this is the new you. And this is a way to prove to yourself that you are the new you. Mm-hmm. And that you will, you know, you'll come out the other side stronger and, you know, with a renewed, you know, commitment to your exercise and all of that, but also maybe, you know, you've strengthened in other areas. I mean, think about like, you know, you're strengthening muscles in all areas, not just on your body, but in your brain, with your food, all that kind of stuff. So this is just an opportunity.
Yeah. And
amazing opportunity.
I have to look at it as an opportunity for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's helpful. Thank you. I'm going to watch this again.
Okay.
Keep wearing that color though. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, Deanna. Sounds like Julie's call resonated with a lot of people. All right. Hi.
Are you?
You are. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I had an urge a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And I did do the 90-second countdown. That did help. But I figured I'd get on here with you and talk about urges and talk about what's going on lately.
Okay.
The last couple of days, I'm recognizing that I'm actually depressed. Mm-hmm. I think I know I'm depressed when nothing really interests me. That okay. Usually does. Because usually, like, I'll have a depressed, like, thought or feeling, and then I'm able to, like, snap myself out of it or, you know, do something positive that, but, like, I find it harder to do that last couple of days. So I think that I'm depressed the last couple of days when I've had urges, I didn't try to dismiss them. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what I want coaching on.
Have you been diagnosed with depression in the past?
In the past, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think it's like clinical or anything.
Okay.
I think it's just, you know, the blues kind of thing. And also it is connected to like my hormones.
Okay.
You know, that fun time of the month. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all connected with that.
Well, if you put depressed in the feeling line of the model, right? Mm-hmm. So that means it still comes from your thoughts. So what are you thinking that kind of leads you to feeling depressed and then not, you know, working on your urges and things like that?
So what? Did you say depresses in the feeling.
Yeah. Or,
because I also did a model earlier with depression in the circumstance.
Okay. Yeah. And you could do that too.
And then
let's just talk about what you came up with first.
Okay. So circumstance, depression, thought I need to snap out of it.
Okay.
The feeling desperate. The action ruminate. And then the result is stay depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the intentional thought, and I was wondering, maybe this is what I need coaching on, the models that I did. I put, it's just a thought that I need to snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It will pass when it passes.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe that. Usually I'm able to snap out of it quicker with just a few positive actions. So that's why I was telling myself, just, you know, snap out of it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really happening even with those positive.
Yeah, I mean, and so those are just thoughts, right? Those are thoughts. And so instead of snap out of it, you could think it'll pass when it passes, or you could think something else, right? I mean, that's kind of maybe somewhere in between where it's like, you know, I can work on this. You know, what else could you think about it that could kind of help you move past it? Because you said, I mean, you know, if you kind of stay positive, then it'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think what you mean is like, if you think positively. So,
yes, and do, yeah, exactly. And take positive actions, like, mm-hmm. like movement.
Yeah. And all those actions come from your thoughts, right? Come from your thoughts, your feelings, and then your action. So maybe put like movement, you know, some sort of exercise in the A line. So how do you need to think and feel to do some movement?
I need to think that movement, or like, for example, walking, going for a walk will improve my mood, or has improved my mood in the past.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know this works for me. You know, I know that this will help me. You know, I'm doing something good for me. You know, I'm taking care of myself. All those kind of things. And how do all those kind of thoughts feel to you? What's the feeling there?
Like hopeful?
Mm-hmm.
I can, or empowered.
Mm-hmm.
Empowered to do something.
Yeah, like hopeful, empowered, you know, loving to yourself. Right? Caring to yourself, all that kind of stuff, though, you know, all that will lead to you doing the movement.
Yeah.
What else? What are some other actions other than movement that have helped in the past?
Making a list of things that I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Like one time I was really down and another friend of mine was also down, and I said, let's make a list of 100 things we're grateful for, right?
Love it.
It really worked.
Yes. I mean, it is amazing.
We got into a great mood.
Yeah. Because your brain start, like the wheels start turning in your brain, right? And once you mm-hmm. think about one and two, that's why we have you all do that, you know, on a regular basis, like in the planner, we have you talk about one thing that went right today.
Mm-hmm. I
mean, you can do, you know, as many as you want, right? But we just want to keep you in the habit of with that gratefulness practice, because, and that can be like your question of the day, you know, every day or a lot of days can be, you know, what am I grateful for today? What is, you know, what is good in my life today? Yeah, that's another great one. Anything else?
Go ahead. Any other actions that would lead to
mm-hmm.
depression lifting?
Mm-hmm. What about like following, like writing a plan, following your plan, feeding yourself good fuel foods?
I was just thinking that, because if I overeat, is it just going to make it worse?
Right. Right. So
because before I was thinking, if I eat this thing that I'm having an urge to eat, it'll distract me from my depression. But then I was like, look, I've been doing that the last couple of days, and the scale is going up, And I don't want that. So let me try to do this. Yeah, let me try to do this 90-second countdown because I haven't tried it in a while. The funny thing, you know, I thought it was such a great idea. And after I first learned about it, then I tried it a few times, but I never actually made it back all the way to one.
Yeah.
So when you don't make it all the way to one, it doesn't get dismissed, you know, the urge.
So are you saying you end up eating before you get to one?
Yeah, like I'll get distracted.
Okay.
This was like when I first learned about it, when the workshop first came out. I tried it a few times, and I didn't get all the way to one. And I got distracted with the counting, and then I gave into the urge, you know, okay, later on. But then the few times that I really actually got all the way to one, it worked.
Yeah, that's because you got your brain focused for long enough of a time, right? I mean, you were just practicing at first, and so you weren't, you know, it was okay that you didn't make it at first because you were just practicing, right? But yeah, that's the whole point, is that when you focus your brain to count all the way down to one, it enough time has passed, and I think you know this, but enough time has passed where it gives the brain enough time for the urge to pass. And so that's the whole point of it. Yeah.
Is it like, because you're separating from it?
Yes. You're distracting and kind of separating yourself from it for a long enough period of time. That's why that 90 is key, is because and here's the other thing. Like, a lot of people talk about using a timer on their phone or using those little sand things, you know, that do 90 seconds. And I mean, I think those can work, but I think the actual act of counting down, like even just out loud or just to yourself, that is distracting enough and, like, you know, gets your brain off, you know, the focus of the urge for long enough. Because I think if you just set a timer for 90 seconds on your phone, it's not as, you know, you're not as engaged with it. I mean, it may work for some people, but I think definitely at first you got to just do it, you know, say it to yourself and do it for the full 90 seconds. But yeah, it just takes practice. And so you've found out that it does work. And
I closed my eyes.
Yes.
While I was counting backwards, and I was breathing deeply too.
Yeah. So you just get, you know, you get focused on something else. And your brain is like, oh, I guess we're focused on this now. I'll just, you know, dismiss that urge and move on. So it's pretty powerful. It's totally, you know, it's pretty amazing how that works. So yeah, so just keep practicing that. But I want you to really work on a model where you have all those actions, you know, that we talked about in the action
model. Okay.
And how you need to think and feel, you know, to do those actions. And we came up with some thoughts, but come up with as many as you can. In terms, you know, think about, like, other times you've, you know, made that list of gratitude stuff. You know, where were you coming from? You know, where was your mind? How were you feeling? And really get a good kind of dialed in model so that you can, you know, practice that whenever you're feeling that way. Feeling different.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thought that helps is this is just a feeling. I mean, yeah, it's just a feeling and it will go away.
Yeah.
In other words, it's like part of life, like nothing's gone wrong.
Right.
I've heard you say that before with like the urge to overeat.
Yeah.
And that's true. Nothing's gone wrong. It's just, this is how it is sometimes.
Yeah. This just happens sometimes. Just like with Julie and her injury, right? It's just like nothing is gone wrong. Everything's happening the way it's supposed to happen. I've just got to figure out, you know, now how to move forward, how to proceed. And so that's why you, you know, you kind of have to remind yourself of that. And then you feel, instead of feeling, you know, desperate or scared or whatever it is, or, you know, or less than because you think something has gone wrong, you feel maybe, you know, maybe not great and excited, but you just feel curious. You feel open to trying things. You feel, like you said, hopeful, all those kind of things. So, yeah. And I mean, and you can do as many different models as you want to in terms of like, well, this thought makes me feel this and this thought makes me feel this. So just do as many different models as you can to, you know, to kind of figure out how you need to think and feel at, you know, at any time. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Right. Take care. Bye, Betsy.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Mary is up next. Hello? Mary, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm right here. Hi,
how are you? Hi, just fine.
I'm shocked that I got through. I'm so happy.
Yes.
Hey, Betsy.
Yes.
So I'm calling regarding a relationship question, and I just wanted your input on it. My husband has become an avid cyclist, mm-hmm. and he's lost a lot of weight. He looks fantastic. He has been riding with a particular group, and in that group, there's one lady that posts videos and pictures of the group, and she posts things like riding with my loves and things like that. And I took exception to it, and rightfully so. So I spoke to my husband about it.
Well, what do you mean rightfully so?
Well, because I just think it's inappropriate.
Okay. So kind of getting, why do you think it's inappropriate? Why do you think it's, why you,
because
why,
I would, yes. Well, I would never like post on Facebook with regards to my guy friends, oh, hanging out with my loves because they may have relationships or wives or, you know, significant others. It's just, for me, it's just crossing the line. It's just inappropriate.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but just know that those are just your thoughts about what she did.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right. So I shared this with my husband, okay. and he said, I hear you 100%. Mm-hmm. At first he didn't understand where I was coming from. And I really had to think about my feelings. Was I feeling insecure? Mm-hmm. Was I feeling threatened? How was I feeling? And I just told him I just did not feel comfortable with him writing with that particular person, even though that group was a good group for him in terms of his level of writing, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So he told me that he heard me, mm-hmm. and that he was going to ride with another group, that there are a myriad of other groups that he was going to explore and what have you. So my concern is the following. What if he doesn't find another group to ride with and he ends up resenting me for discouraging him from writing with this group. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, answer your question. What if that happens?
He's come so far in terms of his fitness. I would hate for my feelings to get in the way of his progress.
I mean, your feelings, he's already leaving that other group because of your feelings.
Right.
Right? I mean, he doesn't have to leave that group.
Right. You know? And I was surprised that he said so.
Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, you can give your opinion all day long, right? But right. it's his choice to do whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he may not know a lot about thought work, and he might think that he's, you know, him leaving that group is going to make you feel better, but that's not how it works. Right. I mean,
right.
you can feel better. He can stay in that group and you can feel whatever you want to feel about it. And that woman can keep posting stuff all day long, but you are choosing all your thoughts and feelings right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that you're, I mean, you know, it's just, you're just deciding to, that it's inappropriate, but
right.
you can decide that you don't care what goes on in the group. You know, why do you think that she is posting that stuff? Kind of put yourself in her shoes.
maybe she's grateful that she found a group that is willing to give their time to be with her and ride with her. I don't know. I don't know why she would post that.
Yeah. But it's,
It's like repetitive. It was repetitive to the point where other people were just telling me, well, who is this person? Mm-hmm. And why is she posting this? And so,
I mean,
I don't know. I guess the reason why I'm putting it out there is because I'm just a little concerned that what if he doesn't find a group that can challenge him? And I just hope it doesn't boomerang and shoot me in the foot.
Well, I mean,
me opening my mouth.
Well, but that's not why he does anything. I mean, you just gave him your opinion, right? And again,
right.
He can choose to do whatever he wants to do. He can stay with that group. He can find another group. He cannot find another group. But, you know, he doesn't do anything based on what you say. I mean, he always right. does whatever he, just like we all do. We always just do
absolutely.
What we want to do. So, I mean, you know, again, you gave him your opinion and then he made a choice to do something from, you know, from himself. You know, he didn't leave that group because you said something.
Right.
He left that group because he had a thought and a feeling himself that he chose. You know, mm-hmm. that's his responsibility. So, and he maybe had been thinking, well, you know, my wife doesn't like it, so I'm going to leave, you know, leave the group. But again, that was his choice. So it's just all his choice.
I appreciate you sharing it with me.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just important. Like, we can't influence anyone else that much, right? It's like, we, you know, we feel a certain way. Other people feel a certain way, and we all make our own choices. So whatever happens, you know, it's all, we can only control us.
Right. And I appreciate you fleshing out those details with me because I think that's what I was grappling with.
Yeah.
It was his choice. It was not even in my periphery of thoughts for him to leave the group. He just proposed it. And I just thought, wow, really? But did it make me feel better? Yeah, maybe a little relieved, but it also made me sad because I just thought, gee, you know, I just hope that I'm not robbing him of a wonderful fitness opportunity. But on the same token, on the flip side, I just couldn't take it anymore. It was driving me crazy.
Well, what result do you want out of all of this?
I just want him to continue on his journey, on his fitness journey. That's all. I just want health, happiness for him.
Well, but I say that you can't have that result because that's up to him, right? Only
right.
You can be in your result line. So what do you want as a result for you?
For me?
Out of all of this,
I just want a feeling of anxiety. I didn't like that feeling.
So here's the thing, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with the model and all of that and how it all works, but you can, so how do you want to feel instead of anxious?
Secure.
Okay.
Calm.
Okay.
Happy.
Do you know that she can keep posting that stuff all day long and you can feel that way if you want to?
I am aware of that.
Yeah.
I can feel that way, but I choose not to because I guess it's just how I perceive it, just my value system. I just think it's inappropriate.
Yeah. I mean, and you're just choosing that value system. All a value system is a bunch of thoughts that you're choosing.
That's it. Yeah.
And so you're just choosing to think all that stuff, but it is optional to you. Just know that. that mm-hmm. you don't have to change, you know, you're trying to change the circumstance. You're trying to change the fact that your husband is in this group and she posts things on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that has to change for you to feel differently.
Right. Right.
So I'm just offering that to you as, you know, as the truth, really, you know, as just mm-hmm. that you're choosing to think and feel a certain way about a circumstance, that your husband is in this group and that this woman posts these things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, that doesn't have to change.
Right. Okay.
So just, right, well, you know, just something to kind of ponder.
I appreciate that. Thanks, okay. Betsy. I really right. appreciate it.
Okay. Right.
Take care. Later. Bye.
All right. Making some notes here. Sherilyn, you're up next. Excuse me.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can't see you though.
Well, do you know which button I pushed?
Actually, I think I can ask to start video.
Okay.
That work?
Yep. Oh, there you are.
Hello. You're kind of frozen, but I think if you just keep talking, it'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in a parking lot and probably just don't have.
Yeah.
I think my date is kind of struggling right now, so. As long as you can hear me, I think we're okay.
Okay. Well, we can talk about any of that. So.
Oh, good. Good, good. Okay, so what I wanted to chat with you about weekends. I have been in the cycle where I gain a couple on the weekend and then lose during the week and then gain again on the weekend. So just round and round. And so I saw and asked coaches that it was you or Kathy were advising someone to write down the 10 reasons why you overeat on the weekend.
Okay.
And so I wrote down the 10 reasons, and I actually had 12 reasons.
Okay.
And
even better.
I know. Lots of reasons. Yep. But I didn't like any of them. And so the advice was given to TDL on them. And I'm in the process of that because there's so many of them. And I'm finding that some of them will have like three or four different models within that certain TDL. So I'm writing a book, I feel like, on the weekends. And so I have those 12 reasons. Like I say, I've TDL'd all of the 12 reasons. And I've modeled about half of them. And I'm curious what to do next in that process. Now that I have all those models, all of those new thoughts that I need to maybe adopt so that I can be successful on the weekends. And I want to kind of get your ideas on that.
Okay. So give me an example or two of what. So you've got some new thoughts that you think will work for you?
Right. Right. So let's see. Okay. So one of them, was frustration that I want to rest. I'm sacrificing. The family's being difficult. I have to clean up after everyone. So that was kind of my, and then I did a model that I started with a C for frustration, but I'm like, well, that's not really a circumstance. That's mm-hmm. more of a feeling. So I put dirty dishes. My thought, I shouldn't have to clean up, feeling irritated, action, eat leftovers, overeat, result, weight gain.
Okay.
And so my new model was dirty dishes. My thought, I can choose to clean or not to clean, feeling in control, action, clean or not clean till the next day, result was to stay calm.
Okay. So that's a good example. And I mean, dirty, you don't want to have like any adjectives or descriptors in the circumstance line, because my definition of dirty and your definition may be different. So, but okay. It would just be like dishes in the sink or something like that.
Right.
So you want it to be,
so
you
know, the other one was like dopamine hits. And so the circumstance was sugar.
Yes. Okay.
And then it, the thought sugar soothes me. feeling comforted, action, overeat sugar, result weight gain.
Okay.
And then sugar is a temporary fix is my new thought. My feeling was conscious. Is conscious a feeling?
Yeah. I mean, aware, conscious, aware. Yeah. Yeah.
And then action was to meditate instead, and then result calmed without sugar. So I have all these models. I just don't know. Implementing about 30 different models and thoughts is just, I don't want to say overwhelming, but I need to make it manageable so I can actually implement some of these things.
Okay. First I'm going to stop your video just to be sure that, cause you just keep, well, oh no, I stopped my own video. Never mind. Let me see if I can stop your video. Yes. Stop video. Okay. Just cause I don't want to lose the signal. But I think we're okay. 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 So basically the way it works with, are you there still?
Yes.
Okay. The way it works with, you know, with kind of unintentional and intentional models is that it's kind of this, it's called mental rehearsal. I mean, you're just practicing the new model, right? When you get into the situation, into the circumstance, then you practice the new thought. I mean, you just go, you work and practice living the new model. But for you, it may be a matter of, I mean, you don't want to get overwhelmed. You don't want to say, I'm going to practice every single new model, you know? And so, right now you're just kind of, just to back up for a second, you're just kind of working on awareness right now in terms of what thoughts haven't worked for you in the past, and then what thoughts might work for you in the future. So that's really where you are. But you're probably also maybe feeling some urgency to kind of, fix these things, right? Or to, to kind of just flip your models. And right. That's not really how it works either, because, I mean, it's just kind of an imperfect, slow process of, finding yourself in these circumstances again and being aware enough that you realize that you're in them, right? Like, let's say the dirty dishes, for example, or the dishes. You realize you're in this circumstance where there are dishes in the sink. You hear that old thought of, I've got to clean up after everybody or whatever it is. And then you're able to kind of just say, no, I'm practicing this new thought of, what was it? Like, these dishes, I can clean them or not, right?
Yeah, I choose to clean or not to clean.
Yeah. And so I love that, to clean or not to clean. Shakespeare. But, yeah. And so you just practice that thought. And at first it's going to feel very uncomfortable and awkward because your brain just immediately goes to what it's always gone to in the past, which is.
Well, it's interesting that I'm like, wow, my whole weekend is full of thoughts that don't serve me at all. And I'm like, no wonder I'm sitting there overeating all weekend.
Yes. And that may just be like where you need to be right now. You may just kind of need to be in that kind of awareness phase where it's like, oh, I mean, and you are, I mean, it's, you've done just some amazing work. I mean, and I want you to recognize that, where it's just like awareness is some of the best work you can do, because you realize, oh, duh, of course, this is why I overeat all weekend, because all this crap is going through my head. And so, but it's not a matter of just immediately changing it, right? It's just kind of sitting with that awareness for a while, and you don't want to beat yourself up about it. You don't want to, kind of judge yourself over it. You want to practice just kind of seeing it as neutral, like, okay, I've got all these thoughts that aren't working for me. I'm working on some new ones, and let's just kind of get this started, but we're just going to, start practicing. So, but it's just really being very curious and saying, okay, I'm figuring this out and I'm just going to, start the process, but don't do too much too soon. And then because you'll crash and burn in terms of, if you have a big list of thoughts that you want to practice on the weekend, and then, you're just all in your head all weekend, So okay. It may just be a matter of like just picking and choosing one model and saying, okay, when this comes up, this weekend or whenever, I'm just going to work on being really aware and listening to my brain and seeing what it says, and then saying, okay, what if, And this may be where you want to kind of work on some bridging thoughts. Like, I mean, it sounds like your thoughts are already pretty doable in terms of like, I can clean or not clean, you know, it's not something that's kind of hard to believe at first. So yeah, you just kind of start practicing those thoughts, doing that mental rehearsal in your mind. If you need to have like a sticky note somewhere in the kitchen to remind yourself, or something on your phone or something like that. And then you just kind of start practicing these new thoughts. And, you know, they're going to work sometimes, they're not going to work sometimes. But, and it's all about kind of going through that model. And even if you don't quite kind of buy into that thought yet, it's still kind of committing to the action where it's like, I'm not going to overeat. You know, I'm just having an urge. I'm not going to overeat. I'm going to practice this new thought, and I'm going to go through the model and just keep practicing. So
okay,
it's just a very kind of imperfect process. But again, the awareness and where you are right now is the key first step.
Okay. And to kind of piggyback on this, I'm trying to kind of do some processing on this as well. But my husband and my 17-year-old son have, they went on a school trip. And so they've been gone for almost a week. But this last weekend, I did not overeat at all. I stuck to my plan just perfectly. And I had a loss over a weekend. And the difference is they were gone. And so I was trying to do like a thought download this morning about that. And my thought over the weekend, I could see that was different with them gone, is that I'm in control. I like having them gone. I like that I don't have to cook. I'm happy that I get to plan the weekend that I want to have. And so, I mean, obviously when they're home, I can't really have those thoughts, but those thoughts worked this last week.
Yeah. So what I would challenge you, it's like, I would challenge you and say, you know, your circumstance changed, right? But right. It doesn't have to change for you to have a different result. And so that's, I kind of want you to ask you like, and that's exactly where you are. You're like, okay, it's, you know, that it's your thoughts that create your results. And so I want you to really do some models about, you know, and you're doing that now where, you know, what were you thinking about this weekend that you could transfer into any typical weekend that could work for you, you know? Okay. And I mean, specific ones about them being gone, obviously those won't work.
You know, for any other reason. I'd love to change the circumstances and not cook for them on the weekends at all, but I have a manual for myself that a good mom and a good wife cooks and has nice meals on the weekends. And so that's maybe a whole other issue.
That's a whole other thing to TDL and model on, because that's another thought. I mean, that's a total thought, right? That is not a fact at all. I mean, that's just your thought that I should cook for my family on the weekends. So yeah, I mean, it's really interesting how you start doing this work and then it just builds and builds and builds and builds. So, yeah.
You start realizing how your brain is just wired.
And how you just, I mean, how you accept so many of these thoughts as just facts, right? Or as just truths to you. And like, you know, I just love the question, like, how could I think differently about this? What if I didn't have access to this thought? What if I didn't think this? What would I think instead? Just really opening your mind up to that with any thought you have. Because that's why we have you, like, when you do a thought download, where you underline all the facts of the thought download, and that's where you can really see that basically everything else is a thought. But sometimes you're underlining things that you think are facts and they're not, like, you know, and so that's a really good exercise to even like do a thought download. Actually, I had a question about this, in Ask Coaches earlier today, where someone did a thought download and then they pulled out all of the things they thought that were facts. And she had like a list of like 8, and at least half of them were not facts. They were thoughts. And
oh, yeah. That's what I found for my reasons when I'm doing my reasons. It's all thoughts. And so that's why I'm like, I have so many models to work through because I have so many different thoughts.
And if you realize that, you know, every single thought is optional to you, just like with Mary, with her, you know, with her husband and the, you know, all the Facebook posts and stuff, you know, she's choosing to think that that's inappropriate, but that is her choice about her, you know, her choice to think that, but it is always optional. So just opening your mind up to that and just realizing that most everything is a thought is just huge.
So is it just a matter of repetition till you get it to stick?
Yeah. It's a matter of repetition, but still doing the action, you know, because I mean, the key, right, is the action and the result in the model. And so if you're wanting to quit overeating and gaining weight on the weekends, then even if you don't quite believe that thought yet, you're still practicing it and you're still practicing feeling, you know, however you want to feel about it, but then you still do that action no matter what. And it's going to feel crappy. It's going to feel like ass. It's going to feel uncomfortable. But the more that you live that model, because the result, you know, always goes back up and proves the thought true. So when you keep getting the same result of, you know, not gaining weight and, you know, whatever your result you want, right, which is you want to lose weight on the weekends or you want to not gain weight. Then you're always proving that thought true over and over again that, you know, I don't want to gain weight on the weekends. You know, I want to meet my goals, whatever your thoughts are there. Right. And so that's how the model works. Like the more you practice it, the more your thought is proven true and your brain starts to think, wait a minute, I think we'll just think this instead of this now, because she keeps wanting us to think this and she keeps doing all these actions that, you know, that support this belief. And so that's how it works. Yeah. Repetition.
Okay.
Because that's how you
make my work cut out for me.
Yeah. Because that's how
I'm so thankful when it's just automatic.
Yeah. I mean, that's how all these thoughts that you have now have gotten,
right,
you know, ingrained or whatever you want to call it is through repetition. So it's just a matter of practicing new ones, building new habits, building new neural pathways. That's what it is. So, that's how it works.
All right.
So you got your work cut out. Yep.
I do.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
A little tickle in my throat. I got a couple questions here. Let me make sure. Get Sherilyn off of here. Okay, I'm gonna let her. I think I've done everything I need to do to get her off. So
I need to quit sharing, probably.
May just take a minute. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do questions. I can't do crunches very well. Any advice for a beginner, Susan? This might be related to the thing that's going on. Actually, let me pause this. Sorry, y'all. And pause this thing on my computer and then maybe that'll work better for her to be able to get off there. There she goes. Okay. So let me think here. Crunches. I mean, you can definitely just do the best you can, right? In terms of just laying down and going up as far as you can. What other ways are there to do, or just what other exercises? And again, if this is related to the gift of fat stuff that we're doing this week, any exercises are fine. Like just get up, because I think it's three different exercises this week. Just get up and do whatever you can do. Corinne actually suggested, I think on the video, oh, there you go, Laura, you can lay on the floor and try to tap the sides of your shoes. Oh, I love that. Like you just kind of reach over. Oh, good. Okay. There's a post in the PMP exercise. Can y'all post that link maybe? Yeah, I was going to say, Google it, like crunch modifications or ab modifications. But Corinne had suggested like just sitting down in a chair and practice, and just practice standing up, sitting down, standing up, those kind of things. Just real, I mean, we are not talking about like full on workout here. We are just talking about moving our bodies however we want to first thing in the morning. That is the whole point of this week's stuff. So, yeah, or just like our bending down, you know, as far as you can go and coming back up. I mean, just some movement, arm circles, or like just stretches. Oh my gosh, that feels good because I worked out my arms this morning right there, worked out my chest this morning. So it's just like any kind of movement you can do, deep breathing, you know, meditation. It's just a matter of getting up, and I love the getting up and just drinking something, drinking like at least 16 ounces of water first thing in the morning. I do that because I take a few pills in the morning, and so that's not a big deal for me. But just getting that water in and then just doing some sort of movement first thing. That's the whole point. Okay, Roz. Roz is working on the Buffering and Urges course. I have questions on some of the worksheets that I'm doing. I think this is better. Okay. No, you unfortunately you cannot attach a photo of any in-ask coaches. Hopefully we'll be able to do that soon. But yeah, you'll just need to type it. But if you just refer to the worksheet, whatever worksheet it is, and then just kind of do a little synopsis. I mean, you can type as much as you want in Ask Coaches. I mean, you can make your question as long as you need to. Because a lot of people post a bunch of models in there. A lot of people post their food journals for a few days in there. So some of the questions are super long. So just type as much as you need to. You could like cut and paste from, I would recommend that you cut and paste, like you write it somewhere else, just be sure you don't lose it. And then you just cut and paste it into the question. So we would love to help you with any of that. So good question. Love as coaches. Okay. Who else wants to get coached? I mean, Roz, if you want to get on here and we can talk about it, tonight, that's good too. Let's see. I'm looking at YouTube.
I challenge to find.
Hold on. Bicycle crunch exercise modification. There we go. So Roz posted a video for modifications. Yeah, just go to the exercise group. And if y'all haven't joined that group, just request to join it. Because in all of the subgroups, if you go to the Facebook page, if you want to join any of the subgroups, then you go to about on the Facebook group, like up on the upper left-hand corner. And it says recommended by the admins. And those are all the group, all of our subgroups that we have. And you all can request to join any of those. And, you know, we have quite a few now. And the exercises, exercisers is one that's really active. Also, this is interesting. I'm just looking to see how many members. That's probably the exercisers is the biggest. And then special diets has a lot of members. Those are, that's for everybody that's is on some sort of special diet or has questions about specific foods and how they react in your body and things like that. Queen's Club, of course, and that's for everybody that's lost 25 pounds or more. So, yeah. So I just love to talk about the subgroups because they are something that everybody doesn't know about. Okay. Who else wants to get coached? Okay, Roz, let's talk. Talk about these worksheets.
Hello.
Are you there? Yes.
I am. I don't know where the video went, though. Hold on.
Okay.
I can get the video.
Here, I can ask you to
Wait a second. I got it.
Okay.
There we go.
There you are.
But now it's weird. It's got me and my, actually, the question I had, I didn't want to bring up the buffering because I don't have the worksheets with me in my office.
Okay.
But I wanted to follow up on a slight twist to what Juliet asked about being in pain.
Okay.
Mine is a little different in that it is more of a chronic problem. And it's not, okay, there's an injury, it's going to get better. I mean, the funniest story is I was chatting with my podiatrist. Basically, it hurts when I walk. And we were talking about that. Well, there was a day that something felt weird. And I was like, oh, yeah, the pain's not there today. And it was all she could do to stop from laughing. And I'm like, go ahead and laugh, because that's basically, you know, where I'm kind of at, too. That's kind of a sad state of affairs, but you got to laugh at it.
It's sad and, if you decide it's sad. You know, I mean, like, pain is something that, I mean, is so mental, right? I mean, you get to decide how you want to think about it.
It's not different than any other circumstance
in your life.
Pardon?
It's not different than any other circumstance in your life.
Well, and that is one of my questions, because it can be a feeling, but can it be a circumstance, or is it always a feeling?
Yeah, it can be a circumstance. I mean, it can just be, I mean, what if it is? What if it is? So let's put it in the circumstance line. Pain. I'll even give you chronic pain.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
A modifier.
I know. And that, yeah, probably shouldn't do that, but. Or pain every day, you know, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think about it now?
I think of it as something to ignore, basically.
Is that working for you?
Some days, more times than not. Sometimes it's just, you know, it uses up a lot of my brain to tune it out. Is I think, I guess it's the thought, but it sort of feels, it's also a feeling, but a feeling's only in one word.
What is the thought? I mean, are you saying it uses up a lot of my brain?
It uses my brain to ignore it.
Tell me more about that.
I tune it out because I could take Motrin all the time, mm-hmm. but that has other side effects that I kind of reserve Motrin for higher levels of pain than, you know, kind of that, all right. So yeah, it hurts to walk, but eventually it's going to get better. And is what I convince myself of. And in my situation, it sort of does, in that if I keep walking, I either get used to it or it gets better. I'm not quite sure which it is. And I'm not quite sure it matters.
No, I was going to say, it doesn't matter. You just kind of quit thinking about it.
Yeah, basically. It's like, I have to walk. And I mean, I don't intend to become, you know, less mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then, you know, there are days where it's just tiring to constantly have to tune it out.
Mm-hmm. Is that
and
okay?
I keep wondering how to model that.
I mean, like, is it okay that there are some days that are different than others?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, sometimes I know what the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
I can predict weather very well.
Okay. So what do you want anything to change from the models that you have now?
I think the action line of, I come home and I'm just so tired. I don't want to do anything else except sit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I just sometimes wouldn't like to not be doing that.
But yeah, that's your thought, right? Like so there are going to be some days you're tired at the end of the day.
And it doesn't matter whether the circumstances, pain, or just I've been busy all day.
Anything else? I mean, because it's just like, okay, this is today. I mean, that's what you can think, you know, like some days are going to be like this. So that's okay.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of confirms that I'm not missing something that I could plug in somewhere to change. It's really kind of more of what I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Yeah. I think like the reason I ask, and this is for everybody, because I know a lot of people have pain, and the reason I ask, like, what would you change in your model? And because you can't change the circumstance, right? And so, but you can change.
Not effectively.
Yeah. And so if you know you can't change the circumstance and you're good with everything else in terms of, you know, everything that you're doing, everything that you're thinking, feeling, and doing, and then the key is the result that you want with having this circumstance. And if you're good with the result, that then there may not be anything to change.
Yeah, and I'll keep looking at this because some days I want the result to change. But I think there are ways I can make that change. I can go chomp on Motrin for the day and I'll feel better.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of deciding, you know, what is within your control? What is, you know, what results are within your control? And then, you know, deciding what result you want for that day. And again, it can only be, you know, you can only be in that result line. And, you know, is no pain, you know, and this is for everybody, you know, you have to ask yourself, is no pain a realistic result for you? Is, you know, a lesser amount of pain a realistic result? You know, it's just what is realistic for you, and then what do you, you know, what's it going to take in terms of the thoughts, feelings, and actions to get you there?
Makes sense.
I mean, yeah, that's just the way it works. So it's, yeah, Laura's saying a lot of people think this shouldn't be happening, right? I mean, they're resistant to that circumstance, which we can't change.
Well, there are days where I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, and there are also days where me and my teddy bear have some quality time because there's nothing else to do.
I mean, and another interesting model for you to do, for a lot of people to do, would be to put in the C line that I'm going to have some days that are different than others. You know, you don't want to say good or bad or, you know, but it's just like my pain will be different on some days than it is on other days, or something like, you know, a circumstance like that. And how do you want to think about that? You know, do you want to think, that's okay, that's the way it works, you know, that's just the way it happens sometimes, and, you know, and how do you want to think and feel about that? So that would be kind of interesting to do a model on as well.
Time to get out the feelings wheel again.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's something you can do too. Like,
you know, they removed them when I went to grad school, right?
Your feelings, you mean?
Yeah, they're gone.
No, they're not. They're always there. Always there. You just gotta, I mean, I love that feelings wheel too, because, you know, you can just kind of just say, oh yeah, that's what I mean. It's just, you know, sometimes you can't find the words to how you're feeling. So I love that. Love that. All right. We'll get to work on those models then.
Well, thank you much.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later, and post and ask coaches too, if you want to.
Yeah, no, I'm going to post the other stuff because some of it was just, okay. I'm not even sure what the question means.
Okay, and yeah.
Some
yeah.
of
post
it was,
that,
just, you know,
that in there and we'll help you there.
Yeah, I just, yeah, but it, I need to sit down and do that.
Okay. All righty. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. Sarah. Let's see. There you are. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
What's going on?
I don't know why I look super small on the bottom of my...
Oh, yeah, I think you can adjust and you can, like, see both of us, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. The reason why I wanted to call in tonight is the first week of the month when we did the no eating after dinner, that brought up a lot of drama for me.
Okay.
And good. I did not, which is good. It's a lot more awareness, right? Mm-hmm. But I did not realize how much of a problem that is. So I'm a late night person. I like to stay up late. And I'm starting to realize I think I like to stay up late because then I get like, what's the word I'm looking for? Genuinely hungry. Mm. And that's my reason to eat again.
Okay.
So, and yeah. So, and last night I ordered some food and had a way off plan overeat and felt a lot of shame about it and kind of went back to some old behavior of trying to hide it. And so the thought of not eating at night is very scary to me. And I don't know why.
Okay. So let's back up for a second. Let's back up to just your awareness of what's going, like what the awareness you gained last week.
Okay.
And because I heard you say, I didn't realize it was such a problem.
Yeah.
And so right now your brain is really just like, this is a problem. This is, I'm broken. This is, you know, a big deal. And so, and then that leads to judgment and leads to shame, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, I have had this whole big, you know, eye-opening experience last week.
Right.
And so that's where your brain is now. But what if it wasn't a big deal? What if it was just something that you learned last week that's just your next thing to work on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I agree.
You could choose to think about it that way, right? I mean, because I think that definitely like the overeat you had, when was it, last night? Mm-hmm. Was probably directly because you're like, oh, this is my, you know, I have this huge problem now. Mm-hmm. Let's just overeat and deal with it that way. So I don't have to feel the shame and the judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how could you not see this as a big deal, but also see it as something to work on?
I don't know. I was hoping that I could just kind of process with you and come up with a way to start addressing it.
Yeah.
Kind of meeting myself where I'm at.
Yeah. And I mean, but the first step of that is letting go of the judgment and the shame around it.
And I got with my accountability partner this morning. I told her and, you know, she's great. She was like, you know, it's just all it is an off plan eat. We're learning from it. We're documenting everything this month. So just do a recovery worksheet and we'll see what we can learn.
Yeah.
So she's and been great. And I'm like, you know what? She's right. Like it just needs to be neutral. It just
This needs to not be a deal. Needs to not be like, this is just like, I mean,
this is not an I'm a piece of shit.
Meanwhile. Right.
This is an off plan eat.
Just an off. I mean, and even the realization of like what you've been doing in the evenings is not a big deal.
Yeah.
Where it's just a habit that you've developed over time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything about you. What are you making it mean something about you right now though?
I don't know. I just have a lot of, I'm feeling some fear.
And yeah. Tell me about this fear. Yeah. What are you scared of?
Like there was one day, during the week that I took a nap after work. And when I woke up, I was hungry, but it was like 5:30. And I woke up and I just started to eat my planned dinner. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through it, I like completely panicked because I was like, oh my gosh, it's 5:30. You're going to be up tonight with fireworks until 10 PM. You're definitely going to get hungry. What have you done to yourself? You can't eat after dinner.
Mm.
So there was just this, so I stopped and I was like, I'm going to save the rest of my dinner until later.
Mm.
So I just was like, I just scared of laying in bed hungry. I have felt like, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but in the past I have felt like I can't go to sleep if I'm hungry.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's just something my brain's telling me or if it has something to do with my ability to fall asleep or not, but
I mean, that is a question. I answer at least one or two questions of this exact thing in Ask Coach every week. I mean, this is not something that is uncommon. There is, especially if, I mean, if you've developed a habit of eating late at night or eating, you know, and or people who wake up in the night and think that they can't go back to sleep without eating something.
I did that once last week too.
Yeah. And so it's totally
the night that it was the night I ate dinner too early and then didn't get to eat a lot late. I got up at like 3 a.m. and 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those were the two nights that I ate off plan this week.
Okay. So let's talk about this fear. So when you start feeling fear, you know, you're not really sure why. I mean, you've talked about it. I mean, you're basically scared of being hungry.
Yeah.
And not being able to, or not, you know, and not eating. Just basically scared of being hungry and then going to bed hungry.
Yeah.
So, let's face our fears here. When I work on fear with somebody, it's like, let's go there and do the worst case scenario of what can happen.
The worst case scenario probably is I'm uncomfortable and it'll take me a while to get to sleep.
That doesn't sound super scary to me. I mean, that sounds, is that really, I mean, is that, is that,
I mean, and maybe I'll have, you know, obsessions in my head that I'll have to kind of work through. But physically, I mean, that's probably all that'll happen.
So you can handle that, right?
Yeah.
Think you can handle that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times our fears, it's like our fear lies. I heard this somewhere. Our fear lies to us. Oh, I know what it was. It was those people that were walking across the high, in New York City the other night. They were walking on tightrope, you know, and they were, it was so interesting. It gives me chills. Cause it was like, oh my gosh, this is what I work with my clients on about fear. They, you know, cause they said, you know, you got to just like, when you're doing something like that, you got to just push your fear aside. But because our fear lies to us, it tells us that this stuff is so scary that we can possibly go there. We couldn't possibly not eat something and just go to bed. You know, we couldn't possibly go to bed with some hunger.
So I just need to treat it like some of the other fears that you guys have helped me conquer. Like one fear I used to have was that I always had to have a lot of snacks with me because I was always scared I was going to get hungry. And now, you know, especially if I've recently eaten and I'm going to be back in time, you know, I just don't take any, or if I do, I take something real small and like, I don't obsess about it like I used to. So
the exact same thing.
I have to believe that if it can work for that, it can work for this.
Absolutely.
This is just,
this is just the next thing for you to work on. And it happened perfectly, right? Like you had this thing last week where you realize what's going on and now it's just the next thing for you to work on because, But it takes, you know, facing your fears and being okay with having a little bit less sleep maybe one night with, you know, trying a few different things to get to sleep or whatever. But you can handle all that, right?
Yeah.
You can handle it. And so it's just, you know, our fear is never as scary as, you know, what we're scared of is usually not near as scary as we think.
No. And I mean, it just affirms that I really just don't need to be up that late, honestly.
Yeah.
That's when I do about 90% of my overeating is when I'm the only one awake in the house. So.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just an easy kind of action line item, right? Where you just, you
it's
know,
like grow up, go to bed.
Yeah. Be a grown ass woman and go to bed, you know, at a normal hour.
Go to bed on time. Right.
But yeah, but the key is just, okay, it's just a habit I've developed. Yeah. It's fun to stay up late and eat, you know, but that's not going to get me to my goals. And so
it's not quite as fun as it used to be because I'm aware now. That's so that it's working, right?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay. When things aren't as fun as they used to be, that means you're doing it right.
Okay.
So, and you're doing it all right. You know, you're just right where you need to be. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
All right. Good question. Talk to you later. All right.
All right. Bye.
Somebody said, you mean you're not supposed to have a 3 a.m. snack? I love how Corinne talks about this. That's my favorite question, like during the Q&As and stuff. She's like, lay there until you go back to sleep. You know, there might, it's just like when you have a baby. I haven't had a baby, but I know that in my, God bless my cousin's kids, they do not sleep well. But I know if those, if they just put in like 3 or 4 nights of those kids not sleeping very well, then they could develop like a routine to where those kids would sleep better for their, you know, the rest of their lives. But when you're not willing to be uncomfortable for a few nights, and I'm not saying it'd be it's easy, right? But if you're willing to just put in a little bit of discomfort for long-term gain, hello, and there's, I mean, you know, that's what we're talking about here with everything, right? It's a little bit of discomfort for long-term benefit, long-term success, then it's worth it. You know, it's just worth it to lay there for an hour or so and then train your brain and your body to just go back to sleep without needing food. So, oh, that's my friend Rhonda. Yes. 2 bad nights and then they'll sleep better, right? So it's just so worth it, but our brains just don't want to experience any discomfort. And so it builds up that fear of the discomfort, that fear of what might happen, that fear of the unknown. And the next thing you know, you've been living in fear for years when you could have just had a few nights of discomfort and changed your life. So. Oh, thank y'all. Y'all are so sweet. I love this dress. It's like a big, long maxi dress, and it's super comfy. All right. Who else wants to get coached? Got 52 people on here. I may just have to start calling out names. No, I won't do that. Or if anybody has any questions, put them in the Q&A. If not, I'm going to get off of here. I've been coaching for a while. Okay, so let's do this. Lou?
Yeah.
Hi. Let me ask you to start your video.
I'm trying to.
Okay. There you are. I think. There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I've been really successful since I started with the tribe.
Yeah.
I've lost over 14 pounds.
Awesome.
And I'm a gym baby, so I think that's pretty good.
That is very good. Yes.
I'm having trouble with models and, okay. I'm having trouble with adult children. I've had a lot of depression and I went to counseling and different things, you know, to try to help with it. Luckily I haven't been eating it.
Good.
That's been a good thing, you know, but, I'm having a lot of trouble with my adult son.
Okay.
And it's not an issue that I can solve.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't know how to get past that. You know, like I don't get to see my grandkids and it's just really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling right now? I mean, have you been doing some models and working on it or just?
No, I don't really understand how to do the models.
Okay. So so really kind of kind of what I want you to do is just, or have you done any writing about all of this?
I've done some journaling. Yeah.
Okay.
So I journaled to ask coaches and I said I was having trouble journaling and they said, well, what you just wrote was a journal. So, you know, I guess I can journal if I put my mind to it.
Yes. I mean, it's just writing down whatever is, you know, whatever's going on, whatever's in your mind. So what did you learn from the ask coaches question or post?
just that what I had written was journaling.
Okay.
So I was worried I couldn't journal. You know? And like I said, I went to see a counselor, but she really couldn't help me because it's not a problem that's solvable by anybody, but probably my son, and he's not willing to solve it. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's something where, I mean, you have, and the way the model is, you know, there's a circumstance, thought, feeling, action, and result. And your circumstance is your son and his choices and his decisions and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's something that you cannot change.
Right.
And so for you, it's something you can't change, but I don't want you to say that it's not solvable anymore, because you get to decide how you think about it. You always get to decide that is solvable for you. I mean, that's something that you're in control of. Mm-hmm. So right now, how are you thinking and feeling about it?
Well, the way I have solved it is not to choose to be pretty much in his life anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's hard because I have grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not in his life, I'm not in their life either.
Mm-hmm. So you made that choice. That's kind of in your action line of your model. So what were you thinking to kind of lead you to that choice? What have you kind of chosen to think about this whole
thing? That I wasn't being treated right with respect.
Okay. Is that what you want to keep thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how the model works, right? Like, this is the situation. These are the facts of the situation. And then, your thought is, I wasn't treated with respect. And so you feel, how's that thought feel?
It's very upsetting.
Do you want to keep feeling upset?
When your adult children don't have any respect for you, it's very upsetting.
So do you want to keep feeling upset about it?
Not really.
I mean, my adult children don't have any respect for me is your thought. It's not
both of my children, just my son.
Well, my son.
Yeah.
That's a thought that you are choosing mm-hmm. to think. But you don't have to think that.
Well, it's not just that I think it, he actually acted on it.
Well, so. But it's still a thought. It's not a fact. The facts of the situation are things that he said, maybe things that yes. he did, his actions.
Yes.
But you are thinking those things are disrespectful to me.
Yes.
But you're choosing to think that.
Okay.
You can also choose to think something else. You can just choose to think he makes his own choices. And I love him anyway.
That's a little bit hard right now.
And I'm not saying it'll be easy to change your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
But just the awareness that you are choosing your thoughts, that he is disrespectful is not a fact.
I think I've come to the realization that how you turn your feelings against yourself is really powerful, you know, and it's really powerful that I've kind of have that feeling towards my son. You know?
Yeah. Because you're choosing the feelings, the thoughts and the feelings. Wow. Mm-hmm. You're in control of that. And he's in control of his, you know, his thoughts and feelings and his actions, right?
Yeah. I just kind of feel like to go back and do what I had been doing before, which is babysitting quite a bit, mm-hmm. Is almost like not owning the way that I feel, you know, like that it's not productive, you know?
Why wouldn't it be productive?
Because it's almost like giving in.
Well, that's how you're choosing to think about it.
Uh-huh.
You could also choose, if you wanted to babysit and you just chose to think, you know what, see my grandkids. Mm-hmm. Then you could choose to think that instead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all your choice, right?
Yeah.
But just, you know, just being aware of that. Yeah. Like you said, like, you know, you're realizing right now that it's all you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but the key is that you realize that it's all you and that it's all okay that you've made these choices to think and feel a certain way. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And you can keep doing what you've been doing, or you can change.
Yeah. And change comes about by doing the model.
Yes. It comes about by journaling and saying, okay, this is what's going on now, right? This is how I'm thinking and feeling. I either want to keep doing this or I want to do something different. And if I want to do something different, then if I wasn't thinking this, what else could I think? You know, and that would lead me to different feelings and different actions.
Yeah.
Right. And then ultimately to the result. The key is the result in the model is, you know, what, and the key with the result is that only you can be in your result line. So that doesn't mean that your son is going to change. That doesn't mean anything is going to change mm-hmm. other than you, because you can only change you.
Yeah. Because the feelings that I'm using against myself are pretty powerful, and they,
and those are, I mean, you know, we think that if we get all angry or we get all upset, that it's going to affect other people. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, right? I mean, it only hurts us, you know, in the long run. And mm-hmm. so because those people have control over their thoughts and feelings, you know, we can't make anybody feel a certain way, just like other people can't make us feel a certain way. And so when we realize it's all on us, that's, I mean, there's, it's good news though, because you know, you have the power to change it. And if you want to see your grandkids and you want to spend time with them, then you can decide how you need to think and feel to do that.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, decide to just keep going along with what you're doing, and that's okay too. It's all up to you.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is do some more writing, and then kind of, you know, wherever you end up, if you need some more help, you can get on one of these calls, or you can post and ask coaches again, and we can kind of help you move forward from there. You don't even have to, you know, try a model or anything if you don't want to. Just, you know, just do some writing and see kind of what comes out, and okay. then we can help you from there. But
I'll try that some more.
Yeah.
At least I haven't been eating my feelings.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably the best thing.
You know? Well, you haven't been eating them, and so you're actually feeling them, right? You're
yeah.
actually
oh, yeah.
feeling everything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel great, but it's good because you're actually saying, okay, maybe I don't want to feel this way. Maybe I do, but you just get to decide, and you're not covering it up with food.
I actually had to tell the counselor that I was getting more from being involved with this group than from going to counseling. And I'm not going to go back, because I get more from, you know, from working the processes,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
of the PNP group. And,
yeah,
and writing down my 24 hours and trying to follow it and things, you know, I mean, I do, if I eat something off plan, I do the recovery sheets mm-hmm. and things like that. So, I mean, I think that I'm getting more from that as far as not eating my feelings than I was from, you know, going to see her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it, you know, different things work for different people, but sometimes it's a matter of, sometimes coaching can really be more beneficial because it's really focused on, you know, kind of the future and what you want for your future and what, you know, really focused on your thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, everybody does kind of whatever works for them, but definitely coaching can benefit a lot of people. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. All right. I'll see you in Ask Coaches. If you want to go in there, Kathy and I can help you in there.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Lisa. And anybody else? Are you there? I'll ask you to start your video too. And somebody asked about the recovery worksheet. Oh, she's maybe in her car. Are you there, Lisa? Trying to figure out what I'm looking at, like the car seat.
I think it's maybe on the other side.
Are you there? Hello?
Are you looking for that little black thing?
Are you there, Lisa? Might be looking for something for the phone. I'm going to get my recovery worksheet out.
Your glove box.
I don't know. Not under that, is it? I said it's not under that, is it? Well, I don't know why I would use the front.
Okay, Lisa.
Here.
Are you there, Lisa? Going once. Okay, I'm going to take her back. She can raise, Lisa, raise your hand again if you want to, once you're ready to talk. But I'm going to talk about the recovery worksheet. Somebody asked, how do you learn from the recovery worksheet? Okay, and I would love for y'all in the chat to talk about what you've learned in the on your recovery worksheet. Because, you know, everybody learns something different, but I think one of the key things, and I've been talking about this a lot tonight, is identifying the circumstance of the situation. Identifying the facts of a situation is key to awareness and just realizing that those are the only facts you have, and then the rest of the stuff is all up to you. Right? I live with this model in my head now. And if you can just separate out the facts of a situation and realize that the rest is all you, that is some key, just amazing awareness right there. And that's what we have you all do. We literally have you all go through the model with this recovery worksheet. Now I'm looking at the ultimate recovery worksheet right now. But so the first one is analyzing the circumstance. You just write down exactly what happened. And the act of actually writing down the food that you ate, and I'm talking about like being as specific as you can in terms of every single thing that you ate, you know, ate Oreos, you know, a bag of microwave popcorn, you know, a bite of chicken nuggets off my kid's plate. Just seeing that food just in black and white, right, written down there, it really takes a lot of the power away, or I know it does for me. When I have an overeat and I just think about it in my mind, I'm making it a big deal and I'm just, you know, making it this big dramatic thing. And then when I just write down that this is all it was, you know, then it just is so powerful for me to see that it was just some food that I ate and I get to decide, you know, what I want to learn from it and how I think and feel about it. So, let's see what y'all said. This is kind of turning into like a little, masterclass here. Joan, you haven't done one yet? Well, that's your assignment for this week. I want you to fill out a recovery worksheet the next time you have an overeat. And I want you to post in Ask Coaches or in Facebook or somewhere with your accountability group. And I want you to learn one thing from it. I don't care what it is. But I know some of you all are a little resistant to doing these recovery worksheets. And it's time to get over it. It's time to get past. I think about, it reminds me of when the Instant Pot was real big and people would buy this Instant Pot and then they were scared of it and they would never make anything because I think they were scared they were going to blow up their house. And so that Instant Pot sits there. Well, these recovery worksheets are the same way. You print them all out, you put them in your fancy planner, and then you never fill them out, right? And so it's time to face your fears. This is another thing that is not as scary as you ever thought it was. And it's never going to be perfect. It's never filled out perfectly. But just sit down and write something, answer one question, whatever you want to do, okay? Learn the patterns of my thoughts. I've learned to do the sheet and then not carry guilt. Yes, Sue. Yeah, helps you identify thoughts that just you repeat over and over again. When you start doing these recovery worksheets, you find that your brain really isn't all that creative. You think the same crap over and over again that leads to an overeat, usually. Auto patterns of overeat, that's what I'm talking about. These same thought errors that you have. One of mine is, oh, this is not, you know, oh, you've lost all your weight. This won't be a big deal. You can just have a little bit. It's not a big deal. This won't make a difference. That's one of my big whammies. I just want it, Roz. Sometimes that's a thought that just comes up. It's a thought error, right? I just want it. And it's I just want it and I'm going to have it. I mean, that's really what the full thought is, right? Yeah. And so then, I think Rhonda's talking about, like, you want to look back at your recovery worksheets to recognize patterns, right? This is another way of keeping data, right? So you just learn so much about your patterns and what you overeat, when you overeat, what you're thinking, how you're feeling, you know, all these different patterns that you can identify. Now we're talking about the Instant Pot. Okay, so let's just go through this real quick. Was this an off plan, an overeat, or both? I mean, just real straightforward. Were you eating off plan? Like, was the food nowhere on the plan? Did you overeat? Did you, like, eat past your plus two? Or was it both? Because it can be both. So you analyze the thoughts and the feelings. Right before, what were you thinking? What was going on? Your thoughts and feelings, the best that you can remember. And you may not remember a lot at first because you're still practicing with awareness, right? Do you remember any other significant events, thoughts, or feelings that could have led to the overeat? So you just kind of, you turn back the clock, right? You retrace your steps. It's like when you've lost something. You retrace your steps. You go back to before the overeat. And what was going on there? And your brain, this is the other thing. Your brain isn't going to want to do this. It's going to be like, oh, well, let's just forget about it and we'll just move forward. You know, let's just move forward. We don't want to go back to the past. We don't want to live in the past. You know, it's going to give you all kinds of bullshit like that. But this is a time when you want to go back to the past. And you want to fill out this worksheet as soon as you can after the overeat, because the longer the time goes, your brain is really not going to want to go back. And it's not going to want to remember anything. What excuses or justifications do you want to note? Right? These are more thoughts. Excuses and justifications are just thoughts. I want it. I should get to have it. You know, all those kind of things. What do you want to tell yourself instead? So you can start planning for the future. If you tried to not overeat, what things did you tell yourself before you ate? Right? This really gets into if you were resisting or allowing the overeat. If you were resisting it, or you were like arguing with yourself and shaming yourself and saying you're never going to figure this out and, you know, you're a horrible person, or were you allowing it for a while, which is good. Even if you just allowed it and you still overate, you practiced allowing it for a while. Great. Good news. That goes in the win column. That means you reminded yourself of your goals and, you know, why you don't want to overeat, right? You you thought about your compelling reasons. You talk to yourself calmly, all that kind of stuff. So that's what allowing is about. And there's all kinds of more information about allowing urges and in the urges and buffering course. Let's see, analyzing your actions. What could you have done differently? Right? I mean, this is kind of real practical kind of tips, right? What feeling or problem did the eating solve? That's a key question on this worksheet. It always does something for you. It says push yourself, right? And then you got to push yourself. What did the food do for you? That, you know, what was the problem that the food solved, that you think the food solved, right? Analyzing the results. After you ate, how did you feel? How did you feel physically? And then it goes into, if you could do it over again, what could you have tried to have a different outcome? And again, this is not about beating yourself up. It's just like, okay, what am I gonna work on for next time? So every single question in here, even if you don't answer every single question, you're gonna learn something. Especially if you say, I'm sitting down and doing this worksheet, and I'm gonna learn something. Even if it's literally just writing down the food that you ate on the first question and working on seeing that more neutrally than you do now. Okay, let me look the rest of these comments and then I'll get you, Sharon. Laura's new excuse is, I can borrow an exception from next week. Man, that's a doozy, right? No, you can't. That's not how it works. That's not how exceptions work, right? Yeah, there's a reason, like when you have an assignment or when you get in trouble in school and you have to write the same thing over and over again, it kind of sinks in after a while, right? Let's see. There was a quick question here about manuals for people. Is it okay to give up having a manual for your child? My son is resistant to my requirements for him. He is 11. I wish I could just give up the manual. Yeah, I mean, it's up to you as a parent, right? I mean, what is realistic for you to give up with your child who is 11? And then what isn't realistic? You know, and only you know the answer to that, right? And so, you know, he's 11, he's growing up, but he still needs to have some, you know, some rules and some limits and things like that probably. So just kind of open up your mind to, like, what could I possibly change here that might change, you know, change the situation? But, I mean, you know, he is still a child. You're his parent. And so you make those choices. But, you know, just kind of be open and curious to it. Mm-hmm. So is it overeat? Like today was supper. I had a piece of pie, but only two bits, but not on the plan. Yeah. If it isn't, it is an off plan eat, Joan, if it's not on your plan. I mean that, so you need to do a recovery worksheet anytime you eat off your plan. So yes, you will do a recovery worksheet for the pie because it wasn't on your plan. So it's an off plan eat. And then if you weren't hungry for it, it's also an overeat, so it's both. But it can also be just an off-plan eat. Even if you were hungry, but you hadn't planned for it, then you want to do a recovery worksheet then too. So, I mean, if you're ever in doubt, just do a recovery worksheet. Okay? Okay. Sharon, I'm going to probably have you be the last one. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Am I on camera?
You are on camera.
Okay. I was losing my nerve waiting for you.
Well, you're on now, so.
Okay. Well, I'm in the middle of a binge.
Okay.
And I'm very sad.
Why are you sad?
I'm upset. I'm upset because I can't get a hold of my eating, it feels like. I started in January, and I have felt wonderful and successful. And I'm fighting with a couple pounds up, a couple pounds down. And when I go down, I seem to sabotage myself and overeat the whole next day. And
well, how are you sabotaging yourself? What are you saying to yourself when you lose a couple of pounds?
That I don't know. There's so many things. That in order to stay at this weight, I have to eat a little amount. I can't be realistic. I can't eat what's on my plan. I'm not sure if I'm at my two. When I think I'm at my two, then I get hungry later and I wait an hour and I think I really don't need to eat this. And I go to bed and then I wake up and I feel like I just want to devour all the food around me. I write a realistic plan. Today I decided I was going to eat a hoagie and eat carbs and write in snacks so that I could avoid eating. And I ate my hoagie. I ate half a hoagie and I had it with chips.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had made a Bloody Mary. I decided
on the plan?
Yeah, that was on my plan. And then I didn't stop eating. I didn't eat. I put the half a hoagie away, but then I was thinking, now I want to eat something sweet. And it wasn't on my plan. I trying to do the no snacks after dinner. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I feel like it's a tug of war.
If you had to figure out a solution for this, if you had to guess,
yeah,
what would it be?
Well, I keep thinking the solution is being realistic, putting more food on my plan and eating maybe till I'm full and not, and going beyond a two. I'm not sure if I'm stopping when I'm not sure what the two is for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm stopping before I'm actually there. And
so it sounds like maybe that's what you need to focus on, because I think it sounds like you're getting a lot of, like, it sounds like, you know, you ate what was on your plan, right? You ate the hoagie and you you stopped, but then your brain immediately goes into this confusion. Oh, I don't know if I ate enough. I don't know if I, you know, ate too much. I don't know. I mean, just it immediately goes into confusion.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So you have got to practice putting enough food on your plan. And I mean, you know, I'm not giving you just a one-time fix here, right? I mean, it's, you know this, you've been at this long enough. It's all a process. You've lost weight since you put that, since you had that picture up. That picture,
right.
But that just popped up. You've lost some weight for sure.
Yes, I have.
Yes. So, and that's another thing, is to really remember how far you've come, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so it's a matter of putting enough on your plan. And maybe that for you, that means some snacks right now.
Oh, I think that when I think about it, it may mean eating the whole hoagie.
It may mean eating the whole hoagie. And it may mean eating the whole hoagie and going beyond your plus two and saying, oh, okay, now I know that a whole hoagie is more than I need. So I'll make a note for that next time, but I'm not going to sit here and beat myself up and use this as an excuse to eat more or to eat off my plan. I'm going to, this plan, this realistic plan is a tool to teach me how to find my plus two. And you have to go beyond your plus two to find it, right? And right. So it's totally, first off, everything that's going on here is totally normal. Your brain immediately goes to restriction, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. just immediately wants to go to that restriction. That is totally normal. And so we've got to move back to the middle, right? And it's like realistic plan, just, you know, trial and error, practice, staying curious, all that kind of stuff, and love and compassion for yourself through the process.
Okay.
I mean, that is, that's what it takes. And it's a daily, you know, it's a daily practice. It's a daily reminder that I am figuring this out. I'm always figuring this out. I'm not going to ever just have it totally figured out. Mm-hmm. But that's not what this is about. It's about, you know, working on things and loving myself through the process and not, and I mean, I'm talking to myself here too. Okay. You know, we're all working on this where it's, you know, we can't beat our, you know, we can't hate ourselves down the scale. We have to start from a place of love and compassion for ourselves. Okay. And, so I think that's, you know, that's kind of where you are, because I think you're probably beating yourself up right now. You said you were sad.
Yeah, I am.
And so you can decide that this experience today is, you know, happened for a reason.
Uh-huh.
To teach you something. I mean, well,
that's a positive way of looking at it. You know, what am I learning? I
mean, it happened for you.
Uh-huh. That's been my helpful part of the program, you know, that what am I learning?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm learning anything because I keep repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again.
You're just still learning. Right?
Yeah, I have a lot to learn.
And that's great. Life will not be boring.
Right.
Because I'm right there with you. It's like, okay, I guess this is another learning experience. Here we go.
Right.
Next thing for me to figure out, you know, like, okay. And it's, I mean, you can see, okay, this happened for me. This happened for me to learn something. I must be smart enough to learn something. What's it going to be? Let's figure this out. And then I wonder what the next thing is.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's the power of thoughts, right?
Right. What could it be?
What could it be? I wonder. I can't wait to find out.
Right. Oh, okay.
All right. So you get after that recovery worksheet too.
Okay.
I will. And see what you can learn.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Take care. All right.
Bye. Bye.
All right, y'all. That was a good call to end on tonight. Okay, let's see. All right. That's all we got. It is 8:00, so I'm going to get out of here. Again, Corinne will be on tomorrow night for the Gift of Fat, and she's going to be talking about exercise. I'm super excited about that because she doesn't talk about exercise all that much. So, and its connection to weight loss or its lack thereof, I guess we'll wait and see, right? We'll stay curious on that in terms of what she's going to talk about. But I'm excited about this month. I'm excited to be back from vacation and just back at it with coaching. And I will be back on Saturday for another office hours. And then Gran will be doing some coaching on Wednesday and Sunday like she always does. So, all right, y'all. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye.